I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Aurora Winter. She is the founder of Same Day Publishing and the author of Turn Words Into Wealth. She has Done For You Thought Leadership Program that makes writing a book as easy as having a conversation. She also does media training, coaching, and consulting to help leaders achieve their full potential. And one of the things she mentioned, just kind of a by the way, Aurora published a book off a one-hour interview that generated $250,000 in new business. And especially now, I don't know anybody that would find that anything other than appealing. So Aurora, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. Thanks, Dave, for having me, Craig. And I look forward to helping your listeners turn their words into wealth. And we can certainly talk about how to create a short book that makes a big difference.
Well, I got to admit, that's like an insane ROI. Now, I'm assuming there was a little bit of work that, you know, the interview was an hour and there was probably a little bit more work, but that's insane. Tell me a little bit more about that. 1 hour interview generates a...
Well, the key is you have to have content so that you can choreograph the interview and make sure that it delivers the right content. But I wanted to test and see if I could pivot my business. At the time, I was training coaches and I was known as a coach trainer. And a friend of mine was the director of coaching for Tony Robbins. And I'd been interviewed, you know, on Tony Robbins about coaching. I said, "Hey, would you mind interviewing me about marketing and messaging?" He's like, "Absolutely. I know you've launched several seven-figure businesses and that I know you as an entrepreneur, not just a coach trainer." So I gave him the questions and I had the answers ready. And I liked the interview. It was about an hour or so, and transcribed it, turned it into a short book, which later became published as the book Marketing Fast Track, which you can actually get for free. And what it did is then I offered the book to the people in my community. I had a list at that time of 12,000, so not a huge list. I added value, which is something you know all about, Craig. So I added value with, you know, 5 videos about marketing, messaging, publishing, and then said, "Hey, if you'd like more, you can sign up for a business breakthrough call." And then from that call, sold various things, including my high-end offer for, you know, complete done with you VIP book publishing. And so it generated $250,000 in 90 days, not from book sales, but from being a lead magnet. And more importantly, it also gave me confidence that I could pivot my business towards helping people with their messaging and marketing and book publishing.
So help me connect some dots here. So first off, let me just affirm this. I don't think anybody's arguing against authorship being a way of creating authority. As a matter of fact, I think you say that author is the root word of authority.
Correct.
So nobody's arguing against that. Here's the place where my brain, you know, kind of short circuits is I look at what it takes to get on my reading list. You know, people offer me books often and it's hard to get on my reading list. I'm very, very selective for some specific reasons. But then I also think about so many people don't want to read books. I mean, even when I published my books, you know, number one question I got was, "Do you have an audiobook?" And I was like, "No, these books were meant to be read." I said a little bit nicer, but, and so help me connect the dots, because generally people, you know, there's a small group of people that are just incredible readers, but most of society doesn't do that much reading. How does having a book that somebody probably won't read turn into revenue?
Well, not all people read, true, which is why I've got a YouTube channel. It's why I do, you know, podcasts. A lot of people like video or they like audio. So it's great to meet people where they are. But you also talk about the value of a small sale that then triggers a relationship that then triggers a bigger sale. So in the case of Marketing Fast Track, the book was free, but people paid $4.77 for shipping and handling. So it was an incremental indication of, yes, I'm interested. Now I give it away for free just because I can't be bothered, but give the ebook away for free. But that little incremental sale and then adding more value with videos created people putting their hand up to say, hey, I'd like more help, Aurora. I'd like VIP coaching with you to create my message, to create my book. 80% of people want to write books. But the truth is, and you'll have to say what your experience was, Craig, the on average, first-time authors spend 3.5 years writing a book, which is way too long. And then in my experience, they usually drop the ball right at the finish line. They don't test the title, they don't test the subtitle, they don't have a call to action. They don't think of the book as the appetizer and that there's more to be had. They don't invite people into their world. They don't drop stories that illustrate their points, but that also show that they're a coach, a consultant, an expert, or whatever it is that they do. So the book doesn't become part of a connection opportunity. But yes, you're right. Not everybody reads books, but thing is, I help people publish books. People who are aspiring authors, or people like yourself who already have books but want more help writing the next book or getting the current book, having more reviews, having more awards. Those people tend to read books. But here's the thing: this book, Turn Words into Wealth, like it's a much longer book than Marketing Fast Track that I mentioned. This is like a substantial, book, 50,000 word book. And I have so many people yellow highlighted and write in the margins because I'm not holding back. You can read Turn Words into Wealth and then go ahead. You've got seven different blueprints for making seven figures with your book. But my ideal client is already, got a very successful business. And they're like, could you just help me with this, Aurora? And so what I do is I interview them and then we turn those interviews into the book. So I call it the spoken author method. So that's fun because most experts, but half my clients are dyslexic or have some kind of thing like that. We're talking
A lot
about
of entrepreneurs are dyslexic.
They're either dyslexic or they're just swamped. But most people can talk about their expertise, their passion, their stories with ease. So I create a structure for doing that. Maybe there's 10 chapters in the book. So we do 10 like 1 hour podcast like episodes. And that eventually gets turned into the book. But here's the cool thing. They also get audios and videos so that we have 30-second clips, 1 minute clips to share their message, share their passion, even before the book comes out.
So let me back up a little bit and just affirm one thing that you said. You said a lot of people fumble it on the 10-yard line. And that would be me. So the one mistake I made is I decided to publish two books at once. And the first book I wrote mostly over Christmas of 2022. And the second book I wrote during the summer of 23, and then put both of those through publishing. And I grossly underestimated the amount of work. And when it came to launch it, I was exhausted. And I just, even as a marketer, I somewhere in the back of my head, I knew, hey, this is going to take a lot of work to market these books. And I ended up doing a horrible job with both of them.
Well, I'm glad to help you with that if you'd like. So I think a book is like any product there, and most people put so much energy into the book that they fall into that fallacy of, well, if they build it, they will come. But like any product, if people don't know about it, how are they gonna find it? And then you get this honeymoon period on Amazon, the first 90 days, maybe it's really more the first 30 days. Amazon loves a new book. So they're like, oh, we have a new book. So if there is traffic and activity and reviews and purchases or borrows in that first honeymoon period, Amazon will start showing the book to others. But if there isn't, then they're like, oh, nobody cares about this book and it gets lost and it's harder to find. So it's important, like with any product launch, to pay attention to the birth of the baby and help it along the way. But it's nice to have, somebody like myself. Like I've written 10 books myself. I'm a ghostwriter. I've launched lots of books. So I have a process. I have a system. I have a checklist. This has to be done 90 days before the book comes out. This has to be done 60 days before. This is 30 days before. And it's a system. When you're doing something for the dozenth time, it's a lot easier than the first time. And everybody makes rookie mistakes doing anything for the first time. But what I love about books is, unlike most products, a book can be a doorway into your world. A book can be an appetizer or an invitation for somebody to come, get to know you, play with you, invest in you, follow what you're doing in your business, become a client, hire you as a speaker, whatever the case may be. So books are products, but books are most powerfully used, in my view, as lead magnets. So, for example, the highest paid profession that I'm aware of is being a speaker. I mean, speakers can make 100,000, 300,000 per talk.
Yeah.
And you have to have a book. That's the
Right.
it's like to be a doctor, you have to have an MD. To be a chiropractor, you've got to do that. To be a dentist. And so a book is like your entry requirement to play a bigger game.
So let me jump in here, and because I think there are a lot of people out there that have thought about doing a book, they'd like to do a book. I mean, for me, I wanted to write a book for years and years,
Yeah.
and I finally just got my act together, and wrote two books in about a 8 month time span.
That
And
was fast.
yeah, well, enjoy interested in both subjects. It made it easy, but that also makes me different because, there's a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs that don't necessarily enjoy writing, and so they need somebody to help them write that. I think I'm different than probably a lot of the people that you work with, that I want to say some very specific things in some very specific ways. And so it's hard for me to achieve that via ghostwriting. Plus, I just enjoyed the process. But let's break it down to the
Well, first let's take a pause on ghostwriting. So I don't necessarily do ghostwriting. What I find is that most people benefit from having somebody listen deeply to whatever idea they're passionate about. And if I work alone and just type it on the page, it'll be good. But if somebody who cares, who's invested in my success and the story, asks meaningful questions like you're asking right now, it can deepen the content. So a ghostwriter does one thing. I sort of wouldn't call myself always a ghostwriter, more like a coach or a mentor who is committed to success and helps you pull out the deepest, challenges you, like we need another story here, or what's a quote, or what do you really think? Like I was working with one of my clients yesterday and I'm like, asked him some challenging questions. He's like, that's a great question. I have to think about that. So then we're going to talk about that next week. Anyway, I interrupted you, but I did want to highlight that most people don't understand that the best books are usually written with a team, like Winston Churchill. He won a Pulitzer Prize for writing, for literature, but he had a team. He had secretaries, he had researchers. Most of his books are actually transcribed from him speaking. And there's something magical about people speaking as opposed to typing. It accesses a different part of your brain.
Yeah. So that no, and that's interesting. And I would say that where I saw the team aspect in my writing was when we got to editing. And the editor, did some absolute magic. I mean, little things. So, I mean, let me pull up one thing here. And it was a small addition, but it was a big addition. So the introduction to Make Sales Magical reads, "I have a confession. I'm horrible at sales. I've taken the training, tried the techniques, and failed repeatedly. If you're a brilliant salesperson who can sell ice to Eskimos, then this book isn't for you. This book is for the rest of us who suck at sales and still need to sell to put food on the table." So He only added, I think, three words to that entire paragraph. And it was the first three words. It was, "I have a confession." And
That's
he,
powerful.
I mean, brilliant. He said, "Craig, you're coming in too hard. You need to prepare the reader. You just hit them with something really big. Why don't we add these three words at the front?" And it was truly, I mean, it absolutely made that paragraph without a doubt.
Absolutely. So he understood the neuroscience of communication and how people receive messages. One of the books I helped a client with is called Confessions of an Accidental Lawyer. And that word confessions, it makes you lean in.
So let me kind of back up. For those that are listening that they know a book helps build authority, they're probably wrestling with a couple questions. One, does anybody care what I have to say? The second is, this seems overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. And the third is, how am I going to find the way?
You're
So,
right.
how would you answer those questions?
Well, there's three excellent questions there. So let's unpack them, Craig. The first one, I think there's a question before the first one, which is I feel that one of the values of writing a book that most people aren't aware of until they get into the process is that it encourages you or forces you to get really clear on what you think. It also is a wonderful opportunity to review your life and pick out pieces of history and go, okay, that's mud. Oh, there's a bit of silver there. Oh, there's a bit of gold there. And as you wash it off, you claim the pieces of gold in your life and the silver, and you get a chance to, let the mud fall away. This actually, even before anybody else reads the book, changes you in a wonderful and meaningful way. For example, your story about being so close to death and being in a coma and that experience, like it makes you more compelling thought leader, but you had to get clear on how we're going to share that story. So I think the first value is before worrying about are other people going to care what I have to say? What do you have to say? Let's discover what you have to say and discover, are you passionate about that? Do you feel like you learned something that you'd like to tell your own self 10 years ago, 20 years ago? And as you connect with what is it that you really want to say, and it becomes more clear and more crystal, then it's easier to go, oh, wow, I would like to share this with other people. This was valuable for me once I discovered it and claimed it. And then, yes, we're all going to have imposter syndrome. Welcome to being a human being.
Well, and let me touch on that, because the way it manifests for me is when I look at something like this is obvious. Anybody looking at this problem is going to see this. But I think part of that is the reality is no, you see it because you're the expert. It confounds everyone else. They don't see the bits coming together the way you do.
Exactly right. Well, I posted a video of Mel Robbins' newest book, The Let Them Theory, on my YouTube channel, which is called Strategic Basics. And I want to confess, I almost didn't read Let Them because I'm like, I get it already. That's Stoic philosophy. This is not new. But everybody was talking about The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to read it. And it was so valuable, not because the idea is new, but because the idea is valuable and timeless. And she added her own stories. She made a lot of confessions. In all of her stories, she's kind of the villain. Somebody else is the hero. She's confessing all the times she tripped up and then what she learned that we can also learn. And she also added a lot of research. She updated, Stoic philosophy to 2024 research because the book came out December 2024. And it has sold, I think, over 3 million copies already. So it's really touched people. So there's an example, and yet we all have to struggle with this. Is this valuable for others? What is valuable is the depth of thought not the newness of thought. So if you have a thought that somebody else has said, you're probably onto a good thought, because if nobody's ever thought of it ever before, either you're talking about AI or maybe you're out to lunch. But if you have a thought or a story or something you're passionate about sharing with people, and you're like, yeah, it's kind of been said, Jesus said that, Rumi said that, Marcus Aurelius said that, Ryan Holiday said that. But why do you care about that? What happened in your life to make that meaningful? Is there, a child with special needs, a parent with Alzheimer's, your own brush with death that's making that alive in you? So it's alive in you for some reason personal to you. And if you can shine a light on the specific stories that are occurring in your life, rather than immediately going to a broad message, it's the unique and the specific that makes stories land. And when you tell a unique, specific story, it can then reach a general audience, paradoxically.
Yeah. Well, and I think you just hit on something that's really, I want to dwell on this for a second. I feel like a lot of people feel like they need to write broadly. They need to picture a big room of people that they're writing to and figure out how to write so they're writing to everybody in that room. Is that right? Is that good think or is that bad think?
That's bad thinking. So exactly right. You want to find out first, what do you really think? Just one person, what do you think? Now, my first published book, I'm an award-winning screenwriter. So I have a background in film and television. So the best storytellers tell unique, specific stories. And the best marketers are really marketing to one avatar. And it's the same for a book. So my first published book was called From Heartbreak to Happiness, and it was endorsed by Wayne Dyer. And it was my intimate diary of healing after my husband died suddenly in front of me when he was 33. And I edited, it's actually pages from my diary, but I edited it for one hypothetical reader, which was I imagined that my best girlfriend's husband just died yesterday. I was going to die tomorrow. And the only gift I could give her was this diary of healing. And that helped me edit it. I'm a Leo. I'm vain. I wanted to airbrush all the snot coming out of my nose and mascara running down my face metaphorically. And I said, like, no, this book won't be a gift. I'd rather somebody reads the book and goes, well, I'm doing better than her, than feel like I can't even grieve right. I might as well shoot myself now and get it over with. So when you're editing your book, I recommend you edit it for somebody that you really love and care about. And just one, either specific real person or a specific hypothetical person. It could even be yourself 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But editing for the masses is a recipe for pablum and mediocrity.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people miss that. I'm a marketer, and as you pointed out, the best marketers market to a single person. And so many times I have clients who are like, well, our clients have this trait. And I'm like, no. I actually ask them to name a person, and we build the avatar around this person. And as soon as they start talking about somebody else, I'm like, no, we're not talking about them. We're talking about this specific person. What I found from a marketing standpoint, there are some deep insights that I discover when I think deeply about that one person. And it turns out those deep insights have speak to a lot more people than just that one. But to find that deep insight, to speak powerfully, I have to think deeply about one person.
Exactly right. Otherwise, each chapter will be edited for a different reader. And then the thing doesn't hold together powerfully. It's like you need a bullseye in the middle of the target. But paradoxically, if you hit that bullseye, it will, like a rock thrown into the lake, it will ripple out.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got some rocks to throw and you try to throw them all over the lake, you don't create the impact that you could.
Well, and something else you said, you were talking about that book that you wrote, as you were grieving your husband's death, there was in the book that my wife and I published, there's 25 to 30% of the book is my wife's journal when I was in my coma. She journaled on Caring Bridge as a way of updating friends and family.
Wow.
And the editors, I caught the editors going in and fixing the grammar. I'm like, and punctuation. I'm like, no, that's part of the story.
Exactly. I agree.
There was one point where she called me it. She said it slept all day long. And that just showed
Wow.
the exhaustion
Yeah.
that she was experiencing. I'm like, that's part of the story. You can't take that away.
Yeah, and maybe it also speaks to perhaps she needed to distance herself from you at that second because she was so emotionally overwhelmed. And this is a danger with writing. If you don't have a mentor or partner along the process, you can kill it by tidying it up too much and then thinking of running to write to everybody. And then you had something precious and alive and you killed it. Don't do that.
Well, and I would say, and so that's the way it played out in that book. But one of the other things I see people do, and I wrestle with this with my clients, to the point where before I'll take on a new client, I'll tell them, I say, you need to understand, we're going to pull out some things about you that you wish the world didn't know, and we're going to put them on your website. And
That's a challenging conversation. How do those go?
well, they go a lot better when I do it on the front end rather than midstream.
Right.
And we tell them
Framing is decisive.
exactly. But we tell them the only reason I'm doing that is because I want you to make a lot of money. For you to make a lot of money, you have to build trust. And an
Yes.
essential ingredient in building trust is the revelation of a weakness, vulnerability, or flaw.
Yeah.
And if I would guess that if you write a book that just casts you in a perfect light, where you'd never made a mistake, you never did anything wrong, the reader's going to walk away not as connected to you than if you presented the real journey of, I started doing this and boy, I screwed this up, but here's what I learned from it.
Exactly. So Mel Robbins' book, The Let Them Theory, is a good example of that because she doesn't present herself as the expert. She interviewed experts, but she presents herself as the witness, as the flawed human being making tragic mistakes and learning from them along the way. And as I, coach people to be on radio, TV, or podcasts, like media coaching, you can't, like exactly what you just said, Craig, you cannot only lean into the expert. If you can authentically share your journey, your trip ups, your flaws, your sacrifices, your doubts, people will fall in love with you. If you're just the expert, they either won't trust you or it'll be a bit off-putting because it rings kind of tight to always need to come to that place,
Yeah.
from that place.
Well, so one thing I want to make sure we capture before we wrap up. Back to this, kind of speaking to one person. Picture somebody that somebody you've talked to, a business owner who's kind of sitting on the fence thinking they should write a book, but is a little bit scared. What would you tell them if they were to call you? What would be the next steps for them? Why they should engage?
Well, I think there's nothing, I'm completely biased. I don't think there's anything more powerful to create authority than a book, because the root of the word authority is author. And so I would just challenge and invite that hypothetical person who's thinking of writing a book, but who has a business, to really get clear about what problem do you solve. And if we could write a book that was fun and easy to write, because you're just getting interviewed about your area of passion and expertise, if we could write a book that clearly has the in the title or subtitle the problem that you solve and you put it up on Amazon or other places, you have reached the number three most searched place, Amazon. And you've reached people around the world, and you either give a gift to people who can't afford to work with you directly, you give them a gift of your insights, what you've learned over decades, you start them in the right direction, which is what I've done with the book Turn Words into Wealth. There's seven different ways to make seven figures in that book, and you can go ahead and implement them by yourself. I'm not holding back in the book. You don't need to hold back. But the ideal person who's like, okay, I want more. I want to come to your event. I want one-on-one VIP coaching. In my case, that's when I work with people one-on-one, or whatever the business is. That book can also be a powerful lead magnet to get you speaking, to invite clients to work with you, to be part of your marketing funnel, to be part of your legacy. And besides, it's fun and kind of cool for you to look at your life. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of running a business and making money and looking at all your key performance indicators and to sort of forget that you matter, your life matters, what you think matters, and to take a bit of time to distill that and make it clear. Okay, one more thing, because I have to say this because I'm so passionate about books. I think like books are like seeds. And the cool thing with a seed is they can sit on the shelf for a long time, but then they can germinate when you add water and soil. And how the seed of a book germinates is when somebody opens up the book and reads it. Like I have been mentored by so many people who are dead, by Marcus Aurelius. I've been mentored by C.S. Lewis. I've had so many things that I've learned from books, like books for $20 or for free from the library. You can get the benefit of decades of the wisest people's insights. Like this morning, I was listening to Ralph Waldo Emerson and just leaning into his thoughts about transcendentalism. I mean, books are such a wonderful gift to give the world. And what do we really have to give besides our own stories, our epiphanies, what we've learned, our trip ups? Hey, avoid that pothole. That's really all we have to offer human to human. And
Right.
stories are the DNA of humanity. Stories are how we learn as humanity and we grow and evolve.
Well, that's awesome. Now you said there's a free book.
Yeah, shifting to gift, this book, Turn Words into Wealth, Blueprint for Your Business, Brand, and Book. It's available wherever books are sold. If you want the hardcover copy, go buy yourself a copy on Amazon or wherever. But you can also get the ebook for free on the website, turnwordsintowealth.com. If you'd like help with publishing, you can check out what we're up to at samepagepublishing.com. And I also have fantasy books, written a trilogy of young adult fantasy books and other books about mindset, business. So I love books. I'm crazy about books. What can I say?
Well, that's awesome, Aurora. And I do hope if there's a business owner that's been thinking about it, I hope they'll reach out to you and talk to you because I do think they should be writing a book. Thank you for coming on Leaders and Legacies. This has been awesome.
It has been awesome. Thank you, Craig.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.